to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time.
It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro podcast booth, Concrete Crew. Is that right? Floor Crew.
Floor Crew. One.
See, the notes here say Stove Crew, and I caught myself before I just read it blindly. But then I said the wrong thing. Anyway, I'm Daryl Darnell. I'm your host for today's episode, and I'm going to have the crew introduce themselves, starting with Jason.
My name is Jason Nice. I'm from Campbell, California.
Garland Peabody from San Jose, California.
And Daniel Peabody from San Jose, California.
Well, I should say welcome back to all three of you guys. You've all sat in this room before and recorded a podcast.
Yes.
So welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is my first time hosting the podcast, but I've sat in and recorded a couple of these episodes now. So it's kind of cool to sit in this chair. And it's cool for me to get to know you guys a little bit. We were just kind of talking before I hit the record button that the floor crew gets up earlier than most of us. There is one stove crew that gets up with you guys. And you guys are doing a task that none of the rest of us are doing with floors. So I'm really curious to learn more about your experience and to learn more about you guys because I barely get to see you guys. We're almost like ships passing in the night. So let's just start out by talking about maybe one thing that has surprised you the most about this trip to Guatemala. Some of you have been here for 2 weeks, so I don't know if you're able to distinguish where 1 week ended and the other week began, but anything different than what you expected or what you thought it might be like?
No, it's this week has been pretty much, we were here last week, also Daniel and I also doing floors. Jason was here, but I think he was actually building stoves last week. But it's been, it's actually been a really, really good week. It's been, the weather's been absolutely wonderful. Hasn't been too hot, hasn't been too cold, doesn't rain until the evening. The floors have been pretty easy to do. A lot of them have been uphill. I mean, you had to move materials uphill to get to the floors. So it was, but it's been good.
For those who might be listening who've not tuned into one of these podcasts before and they think they know what concrete work looks like in the States, what's concrete work like here in Guatemala? Maybe I'm asking this for myself because I did ask you a little bit of this before we started recording, but this is a pretty new level of knowledge for me. I'm learning, you know, what this process is all like, and I'm sure others listening are too. So, Daniel, maybe you can tell us what that process is.
Back home, I'm sure you're used to seeing, you know, those rotating trucks. Those carry concrete. Here, you start with three piles. You start with your sand, your rock, and your cement. And what you'll do is you'll take in your wheelbarrows of sand and you'll make a pile. You'll bring in your bags of cement and you'll break them open and you'll start to mix them. And usually you'll mix it into one pile and then back into the main pile. So now you've got your sand and your cement mixed up real nice. And then you'll kind of make a little kind of bowl, if you will, and then bring in your wheelbarrows of rock and rake it up so that you got this ridge with rock on top of your mixture. And then you just hose it down real good and you'll start to mix it just, you know, going along till it starts to get wetter and wetter. And once it gets to where you like it, and every mason's a little different. Our first mason liked it really wet. He liked to just be able to slosh it around and get it moving real nice. This guy is much more precise. He likes to measure his wheelbarrows. He likes to make sure everything's nice. And he does small piles and then moves it and then does like small piles and moves it. But usually you just start in the middle of the floor and start to mix. And then you'll spread it out and get it all nice and smooth. It's actually one of the most effective ways to pour a slab by hand that I've ever seen in my life. It's very effective.
So when you say the mason, you're talking about a local Guatemalan who's helping you on the job site.
Yeah. Last week was Luis, and this week we have Jose. And both are very talented. They're very good looking at square footage and knowing how much sand they need and rock and cement and all that. It's very impressive. I mean, it's definitely impressive.
That's cool to see Jose. He was when his family last year was my first time to come to Guatemala, and the first day, the Monday that you all come, it's a training day, whether you're doing flooring or installing stoves. And so everyone, and we had a really small group last year, so we only needed one home to go into to install that training stove, and it was Jose's house.
Oh, yeah. How awesome. Great. Yeah.
So we met Jose that day. We met his son, who's also Jose, and his father and his wife and I believe his uncle, and they're carpenters. But I was surprised he was helping you as a mason this year. Wow. They're a very skilled family. And so it was really cool to see him again, and we saw his son today, and they're a great family. So
awesome.
Yeah. Got to talk to him a little bit this afternoon at Vacation Bible School.
Oh, awesome.
That was
awesome.
Great. All right, Jason, I haven't forgotten about you. Let's talk about some of the homes that you have seen. You've done two homes, or no, you, how many are you doing a day?
Three.
Okay. Yesterday was training day, technically, so was it also three, though?
It goes one, four. Then 3 days of three,
okay,
and then Friday we only do two.
Okay, so you're doing nine throughout
total.
The week.
12 total.
If I could do math, that'd be great. Okay, so you've done a few already, Jason. Mm-hmm. What are some of the homes like, or does something stick out to you that you've seen?
Well, yes. So I've been coming here a number of years. And this is the first year, the first place that I've seen carpentry as one of the main trades that people do. And most of the houses have a workshop in the back, the first house we did yesterday. And then one of the houses, the neighbors nearby did some more working. And it's beautiful work. And Sean said the other day that wood is very expensive here. So it's interesting that there's so many carpenters in this area working with wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some of the things that are different about a Guatemalan home than a home in the U.S.? And that can be from a flooring perspective or just you were talking about how they're doing carpentry out of their house. I mean, some people do have their business with their house. For the most part, we don't, especially if it's a trade like that. But I don't know. What are some of the things you guys are seeing that are different about the Guatemalan home life or way of life?
In terms of from a flooring perspective, one thing that's very fascinating to me here is, I mean, pretty much all the homes last week, when we arrived, it's a fairly level foundation already ready. They've leveled their dirt out. Most of them have some type of boarding up to maintain concrete. Usually the doorways are left open, and sometimes we'll have to find a board to block it, but they always have water ready. I mean, they're ready for you. They want to help. A lot of the women are helping gather water in buckets while we're working on the floors. And I mean, you know, back home, it's like, I paid you to do this job or something. There you go. And it's just kind of like point and click, you know. And here, they're really wanting to make it as easy as possible, as much help as they can give you. And I've thought that was very amazing because I've never seen that in any field I've worked in, as far as that, you know, you're coming to do a job, but I'm going to help you with it. And that's very deep in their culture. And it's very nice to see. I mean, it's very, you feel welcome in their home as soon as you step in, and it's wonderful.
Carl and Jason?
Well, I've always found it when we're doing, it's amazing that some homes have water pressure and some homes don't have water pressure. So a lot of times to mix the concrete, you have to carry it over in buckets and you have to dump it in. And it's still probably the most efficient way to do it because they'll have 2 or 3 55-gallon drums just full of water waiting because they know you're coming and they want to make sure that you have them. And Daniel's right. We did this house where we actually did two floors in this house, but it was like multiple levels. And we literally had to put a rope in the front of the wheelbarrow, have somebody on the back of the wheelbarrow, and one person would be pulling up this up to the top and the other person's pushing But when it came time to start adding the water, there was three or four women in the home.
Yeah.
And they were just bringing 5-gallon water buckets by the bucket. Oh. And I mean, nonstop.
Just turning just, around and grabbing another bucket.
And they're bringing them up. I was really amazed because a 5-gallon bucket of water is heavy.
Yes, it is.
And they didn't even challenge. Flinch. They just carried them up, handed them to you, and set them down.
So, Sean shared a story yesterday that happened last week. You guys may have seen it. Apparently, they were at a church, and a truck of donations arrived because of the recent volcano eruption that was here. And the kids just started unloading that truck, small kids apparently. I don't know if you guys saw that. You know, please elaborate. But he was just talking about how the work ethic is instilled in their culture from a very early age. Yeah,
very early age. I mean, one of the things I liked that he said the most was, you know, there were no moms like, hey, get over there. You know, why aren't you, go help them. It was of their own volition. They just, when they were even turning it into like little games, you know, well, how many, you know, packages can you get in before we have to stop? Or, you know, how heavy is your bag? Mine's heavier. You know, it was just, they were happy to do it. And it was amazing to see. I mean, you know,
they did have a couple of photos that they were showing. I think they showed them one night, and there were like two of them, and it's like three, four small boys carrying one bag. They're all one on every end, and they're just, I mean, you know, one of them couldn't carry it by themselves, right. But they would just, and they just grab them and just keep right on going. So the camaraderie is just, it's pretty amazing. It's like if somebody needs help, you jump in and you help them. Mm-hmm. You don't question it. You just do it.
It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, even when we were, the first week I was here, we were doing donations, getting them off the chicken bus and into the area so that the ladies could start sorting through the donations. And the kids all ran out. The ones that mothers were waiting in line, you know, to go through donations, the kids were running out and carrying these 50-pound bags, you know, four kids, one on each handle, carrying these duffel bags in, and they would run back as quick as they could to get another. It was so funny to watch, you know?
That's inspiring, isn't it? I mean, because it's exhausting work, what we're doing with stoves. I mean, I finish a stove and I am beat. You know, I'm looking for my water bottle.
Definitely.
And you see things like that and it's like, I got more in the tank. I just need to figure out where that reserve switch is. And it really motivates you.
Definitely. Kick on the turbos.
Yeah. Jason, you got a story about a house you want to share?
Okay. Aesthetically, when you go in, these floors are, most of the floors on the house are dirt floors. You've probably seen this with the stoves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got four walls. Your four walls are metal, or you have cane. And a lot of these are like blackened by the soot of the fires. So rubbing up against them is not good. Might get a little dirty. And then on top is another piece of sheet metal. It's pretty flimsy. Gets old pretty quick. And it kind of flakes off. And I've been under sheet metal when it's raining. And it rains a lot down here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a getting hit with drums, so yeah, it's definitely kind of a culture shock when you see it.
Yeah,
and this is how people live. Yeah,
yeah, and their attitude is inspiring too. They have so little, and they're so giving.
Yes,
you know, one of the homes we were in today gave us fruit when it was over, and it was probably something they grew in their yard, but it was still a sacrifice of food that could have gone to their family, and they don't have much. And they're very, very caring, very giving, very appreciative about all of us being down here, and helps me appreciate how much I have back home, you know, because it's easy to look at your neighbor and go, oh, I don't have as much, but we all have so much to be, you know, we live in abundance, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, not only that, it's our last floor today wasn't a large floor. It's probably 10 by 10, maybe. And we're mixing concrete, and the room is just like pitch black. And it's like, we asked them if they had a light. Mm-hmm. And they, oh, yeah. And they went out and they got a broom handle and they pushed the lamina, the roof, back over to one side and the sunlight came in. And that was the light for the room.
Wow. And this was their kitchen.
It was going to be their kitchen.
This was their, it had a little stove in there. And I mean, this
but
was
they
their
actually didn't have a light kitchen. In there.
Makes you wonder what they do at night. Yeah. Interesting. Well, any final thoughts you'd like to share with anyone listening who may be interested in joining us on a future mission? All of you guys are second timers or second weekers. So, or any message you want to send back home to anyone that made it possible for you to be here that you'd like to give a shout out to?
I would say this is my first time, and I decided to come for 2 weeks right off the bat. And very glad I did. A lot of personal growth has happened this trip for me, which has been great, most of it. But if you're thinking about it, now is the time, as cheesy as it sounds. I do love the name because you can't help but smile when you hear it every time you hear it. Now is the time. And I would like to give a shout out to Uncle Meyer and Aunt Karen for helping me with a nice donation so that I could come here and experience this life and this culture and the beauty of the people and the land.
Yeah, well said. Garland?
Our first year was 5 years ago, and this is our fifth year. The last 3 years of what we have been 2 weeks. First 2 years was we came for a week, and then all of a sudden it's like, why aren't we here for 2 weeks? Mm. You know, the rest of our group typically comes for at least 2 weeks. So here we are. And then when Daniel decided to come, it's like, well, we go for 2 weeks. He said, well, okay, I guess I'll sign up for that.
Worth it. Yeah. Definitely worth it.
It's definitely worth it. I mean, if you really, really want to experience another culture and the love of another culture, and, you know, that is so appreciative of everything you do. And they're very happy people. I mean, yeah, they live in extreme poverty. But, you know, when you play basketball with them, you're playing with a ladder that's, you know, leaning up against the building and you're shooting a basketball into the top rung of the basket. If that's your basket. There is no basketball hoop. It's just, you know, but they just love life right where they're at.
Yeah. Jason?
Yeah, so on Saturday I found out that a person from my church who was planning on coming but wasn't able to sponsored me. So shout out to Richard. Thank you for allowing me to be here for 2 weeks. And I look forward to seeing you when I get back and telling you in person and also seeing you next year here in Guatemala because it's something you can't miss.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, thank you for your time.
Thank you
for the great work you're doing. And this was cool for me, selfishly, to get to spend some time with some guys that I have not had a chance to chat with yet.
So, right on.
Maybe it was, what's the word?
Predestined.
That'll work. That's not the one I was thinking of, but that'll work. So, thank you. Well, on behalf of Sean and Damaris, Lillian and Corazon de los Niños, thank you for your service to our Lord and to his children here in Guatemala, and thank you for sharing your stories on the podcast.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.